thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I'm going to talk to you about prophecy, one of the 9 manifestation gifts of the Spirit. Pastor Roger is going to come up. I'm going to talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues. And then we're going to step out in what and not what? In faith. Say faith. Faith. Not fear. Faith is our friend. Fear is not, right? Say faith is my friend. Fear is not. Faith is my friend. Fear is not. Very good. So we're going to step out in faith, and we're just going to do the word. That's the prescription for the night. So we're going to talk about prophecy. Let me start by reading a definition to you on your outline. Here's prophecy. Here's a definition, a simple definition of prophecy. And I like that the gifts of God are simple. They're simple to understand. It's not complicated. Faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, whatever it is we're talking about, it is not complicated. We know what it is, and the Bible is clear. It describes to us what it is. Prophecy is a vehicle of God's communication to people and the church. Boy, that's simple. It's a vehicle of God's communication to people and the church. It is a divinely inspired utterance or revelation. That's what prophecy is. Where does that come from? It comes through the vessels fit for the use of the master. It comes through the temples of the Holy Spirit, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So the gift of prophecy in operation flows through the vehicle. Say, I'm a vehicle. Some of us are bigger vehicles. I'm a truck. Some of you are cars. I'm a truck, but I'm a vehicle. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And so prophecy is a vehicle of God's communication to people and the church. It is one of the most powerful gifts that God has given us. Now, we're going to start by looking at 1 Corinthians 14. Before I dive in there and read, it's not an accident that sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the chapter on gifts and the description of the body of Christ comes chapter 13, which is all about love, which is all about love. And so when we recognize that we're called to live in faith and not fear, and that will bring freedom, and the umbrella over all of it is love. It's love. It's love. That was our whole worship set tonight, was love, and the umbrella of love and the revelation of what that means. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts, the manifestation gifts, and then it goes on a little bit further and says, the body can't say, I don't need the body. The hand can't say, I don't need the arm, and the eye can't say, I don't need. And it goes through this specific description of how important the body is to the body. And that means us. We are important to one another. One of the methods that God ministers to the body is through this vehicle, through prophecy. And we're going to talk for just a few minutes about what prophecy is. Pastor Roger's then going to come up, and then we're going to practice a little bit. And my prayer is, our prayer is, that you'll be excited about that and not fearful of that. We should not be fearful of it. So, here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4 say, and this is Paul speaking here. Follow the way of love, that's what he just talked about in 13. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially, notice that word, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men. Now notice these powerful things. Speaks to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. How many of you could use a little bit of that? Some strengthening, some encouragement, and some comfort. Well, guess how it comes? It comes through the gift of prophecy, through the vehicle of the people of God. That's how it comes. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So, prophecy then is a vehicle of God's communication to people and the church. It's a divinely inspired utterance or revelation. I just want to go through a few points, and we're going to go through them rather quickly because they're very simple. But instructions in the Bible concerning prophecy. Are we instructed in the Scriptures? That's the wonderful thing about the Bible, is we're given boundaries that we can stay safely within so that we can understand how the gifts are supposed to flow and how the gifts are supposed to work. So here's some instructions for prophecy. Number one is this: desire to prophesy. We just read that. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So we should desire prophecy. We have desires for all kinds of things in life. We should desire prophecy. We should desire to receive prophecies. We should desire to give prophecy. It's something that needs to be motivated or fueled by a desire. So it could look something like this: God, give me a desire for your gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. I desire to prophesy. I desire to receive prophecy. It's something that the Bible says that we should especially desire. So it's not only that we should desire, but we should especially desire to prophesy. Number two, prophecy is a gift used for speaking to people. We just described in 1 Corinthians 14, it's used for what? It speaks to men for what? Their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. So prophecy is a gift used for speaking to people. So when this gift is in operation, a person speaks to another person and trusts that this divine utterance that flows out of them is an encouragement or a strengthening word right from God to the recipient. Isn't that good? Say, that's good. Say, that's really good. And it's all there for us already. We don't have to go earn it. We don't have to deserve it. It's there for us. A few weeks ago, I came forward and I was here at the altar and I was praying for people. It was after a weekend service and we were praying for people. And after the worship set was over, Christy was up here and she had been leading worship and she called me up onto the platform. And she said, I have a word for you from the Lord. And she just began to share this word with me that the Lord had given her, and that word has been marinating in my mind for a month. So I received that as a word of encouragement and a word of strengthening, and as I received that, the longer this thing is marinating on the inside of me, the more it's inspiring me to the truth of it. And so prophecy is this gift that's used for speaking to people, and the vehicle that God uses is you. Say me. God uses us. Number three, prophecy is to build up the church or to strengthen it. So when we talk about moving in prophecy, and we're talking about the gift of prophecy, not the office of the prophet, we're talking about the gift of prophecy. When that gift is flowing in and through the life of a believer, it is meant to strengthen and build up the church. So when somebody gives me a word, or I give someone a word, it certainly blesses us individually, but it strengthens us as a whole. When you walk around hearing from the Lord and knowing that God spoke to somebody to bless you, that not only builds you up and encourages you, but it encourages the other person. So it's a win-win situation. So God's desire is that we understand that this gift of prophecy is to build up and to strengthen. So what happens if we don't use it? We're being selfish. If we don't use it, we're being selfish, and we can't afford to do that. There are words in here tonight that you're going to receive from someone, and it's going to be a blessing to you, and it's going to encourage you, and it's going to strengthen you, and it's going to build you up. How do I know that? Because the Bible says it. What's the prescription? Read, read, read. If you're battling between faith and fear, read. Read what the Bible says about the gifts. The Bible says that God desires, and He eagerly desires, and especially desires, the gift of prophecy to be flowing in and through our lives. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. Excel in the gifts that build up the church. Prophecy builds up the church, so what do? Excel in it. So it starts with a desire, God, I desire it, and then God says excel in it. You cannot excel in it if you don't practice it. True? You can't excel in it if you don't practice. There's no way it will grow. There's no way that the gift will flow, grow, or anything else if we don't excel in it. And we can't excel in it if we don't practice it. Number four, prophecy is to encourage and comfort the body. There have been so many times that I've had people give me a word. And hear me when I say that. That's not something weird. That's a gift. When somebody comes up and they say, I have a word for you from the Lord, that's a gift from God. That's a gift that comes from God. And I can't tell you how many times those things have encouraged me and built me up and strengthened me in times when nobody else knew. And God just hand delivers a word of encouragement, and it's called a prophecy. And it just ministers and it touches you and it strengthens you and it pushes you through a challenge or a difficulty, whatever it is. And so it can be one of two things. It can be personal or it can be corporate. You may have been in meetings before where you've heard a prophecy. And a prophecy, by definition, is a word of encouragement or exhortation to build up the body. Sometimes you'll hear that corporately. And so it's meant to build up the body corporately. Sometimes you'll hear that when the room is the right size and you can hear somebody that speaks up with a prophecy. It's meant to encourage everybody in the room. And then there's times when it's personal. And somebody comes to you, like what happened to me a couple weeks ago right here when Christy said, I have a word for you. And sometimes it's personal. So what do we need to do with both of those? We need to be expecting both of those. Here's what I've learned over the years about prophecy. Sometimes it's partial, sometimes it's in whole. Here's what I mean about that. Sometimes somebody will come and they'll give you a word. They won't even know what they're saying to you. It's just a word, and it's a word of encouragement that comes out of them. They don't necessarily have to know what it is or what it means, but they give it, and you receive it, and sometimes you will have a partial revelation of it. You won't always know the full revelation of it. You may just have a piece of it. It's like putting a puzzle together. Maybe you've got 3 or 4 pieces or 5 or 10 pieces, but it takes a few more pieces before it begins to make sense. So when we're moving in prophecy, you receive a prophecy, it may be a piece. It may not be the whole, and that's okay. Just understand that you're going to get what you're supposed to get. You're going to hear what you're supposed to hear, receive what you're supposed to receive in the right time. But just be open to that. So all of the things that define prophecy are to encourage, to exhort, and to build up. Very, very rarely, very rarely. And I would caution with this. Very rarely is a prophecy meant to do something else, correct or rebuke. Very rarely. It can happen, but very rarely. If we stay within the boundaries of Scripture, it's meant to encourage or exhort or to build up. Now, when you study the ministry of Jesus, Jesus always did what was most loving. Always. Jesus, the ministry of Jesus could be defined by he always did what was most loving. Sometimes what was most loving was a rebuke. Sometimes it was a word of encouragement but primarily when somebody gives you a word, it's going to be a word of encouragement or exhortation. If it's something other than that, wisdom would say do it privately. If you believe God has shared something with you, put it on your heart to share with somebody else. And it's something that should be shared between the two, then use wisdom. And again, it all comes down to this. Moving in faith and not fear, because faith, not fear, brings freedom. And then we walk in the freedom of what God is doing in our lives. Number 5, let me give you number 5. A prophecy is to be tested by the Word of God. Here's what's so beneficial about prophecy. It must be tested by the Word of God. What I mean by that is this. If somebody comes to you and they give you a prophecy and it does not line up with Scripture, throw it away. It's got to line up with the Word. It's got to be tested. The enemy has a counterfeit to every gift. The enemy masquerades as an angel of light. The Bible says that in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. So the enemy masquerades as an angel of light. So we have to recognize that the prophecies should be tested. The enemy has a counterfeit to every gift, so each gift must be what? Subject first to the Word of God. Here's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says. Do not smother the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at those who prophesy. So notice this. Do not scoff at those who prophesy, but test everything that is said to be sure it is true, and if it is, then accept it. That's as clear as it gets. Don't smother the Holy Spirit, so let the Holy Spirit move. Don't scoff at those who prophesy. In other words, don't blow it off. Don't scoff at those who prophesy. Test everything. That's wisdom. Test everything that is said to be sure it is true, and if it is, then accept it. So we have safeguards and we have places for boundaries. Somebody gives you a word, you test it with the Word of God. And if it lines up with the Word of God, doesn't mean it won't stretch your faith, but if it lines up with the Word of God, then walk in it. God is not going to tell you, a prophecy is not going to come from the Lord that is outside of the boundaries of Scripture. So what do we have to do? What's the prescription for tonight? I forgot. Almost got it again in harmony. Let's try it again. Read, read, read. That's the prescription. If you need another pill, take another one. If you need take five. Read, read, read. Just keep taking the prescription until it starts working. Isn't that what you do? You take the prescription until what? Until it's worked. So test it. There's nothing wrong with testing it. Somebody gives you a word and it's stretching for you or challenging for you, just test it. Test it with the Word of God. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to test that with the Word of God. That's freedom. That's safety for you. That's safety for the person that gives it. Amen? Number six, prophecy is to help a believer learn. So sometimes God will use the gift of prophecy to help a believer learn. Somebody will come and they'll have a prophecy for you, and it's because God wants you to learn something. And so they share it, and you learn something through the gift of prophecy. How wonderful is that? Somebody's going to come, and they're going to give me a prophecy, and I'm going to learn something from it. I learned something from what was said to me a few weeks ago. I learned something about what God's doing in my life and what God wants to continue to do and what God wants to increase and all of this. It was a revelation for me. It was an affirmation. It was a confirmation. It was many, many things, and it sealed in my heart. You know, when you receive a prophecy and it's from the Lord, you seal it in your heart. And whether it's the partial or the whole, you seal it in your heart as a word from the Lord. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. Number seven, prophecy is to convict an unbeliever. So God can use prophecy also to convict an unbeliever. Just another point, let me read a couple more scriptures to you, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Roger. Tongues then, and I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. Tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. If the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some do not understand, or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that they are out of their mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So there's times when there's a corporate prophecy. A prophecy is given in a believer's meeting like this, and there's unbelievers in our midst. The gift of prophecy will convict an unbeliever of sin. And so that gift of prophecy, although it comes as an exhortation or a word of encouragement, will convict an unbeliever of sin and will cause them to allow their hearts to be laid bare. What a beautiful thing that God has given. He'll fall down and he'll worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. How does that happen? Through prophecy. Through prophecy. So there's a corporate prophecy, and it's a word right from the Lord, and it laser pinpoints the heart of an unbeliever. It lays bare the heart of the unbeliever, and they realize their sin, and what do? They bow down and worship to God. That's the power of that gift. How selfish we would be if we don't demonstrate it. How selfish we would be, whether it be believer or unbeliever, if we don't use it. Again, faith and not fear is going to bring freedom. I wrote this down on my outline. It's not in yours, but let me read it. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you'll blow up. If you have the Word without the Spirit, you'll dry up. If you have both, you'll grow up. Isn't that good? I should read that again. That's so good. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you'll blow up. If you have the Word without the Spirit, you'll dry up. If you have both, you'll grow up. I want to grow up. I want to grow up in my faith, and I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a man of God. I don't want to walk in fear. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to choose faith, because faith is going to bring freedom, and I am the vehicle that God wants to use and demonstrate His love to the body and to unbelievers today, and He wants to do that through the gift of prophecy. Amen? Amen. So, number eight. Let me give you this one, and then we'll turn it over to Pastor Roger. Prophecy must be, say must be, prophecy must be demonstrated in order and with love. So prophecy, when the gift of prophecy is flowing, it flows with some order to it. It's not goofy. It's not confusing. It flows. There's order to it. How do I know that? Because I'm taking the prescription, and I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to share the prescription with you. We're going to read, read, read. Let two or three people prophesy, and let others evaluate what is said. If someone is prophesying, another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. In this way, all who prophesy will then have a turn to speak one after the other, so that everyone will learn. Everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all meetings of God's holy people. So, when the gift of prophecy is flowing in a God-honoring the way it should, it does not bring confusion. I've had people say to me before, I can't control it. I can't control it when it starts flowing out of me. That's not true, and that's not biblical. That is not true, and it's not biblical. If the Spirit of God is flowing through you with the gift of prophecy, according to the Word of God, it can be controlled. It can be controlled, because the God we serve is a God of order. Now, what does that require? It requires obedience, and it requires that I speak when I should speak, and I be quiet when I should be quiet, right? Can we just say that? Because that's what the Bible says, so we should be able to just say that. So, it needs to be demonstrated, but it needs to be demonstrated in order. And when we understand that, and it begins to flow, if it's not in order, here's what we do. We don't slap people on the hand. We correct. We correct. See, here's what we've got to do in the family of God, is we've got to lovingly learn to walk people into the revelation of the gifts. And the only way they can do that is by experimentation. And that's why we've tried to allow some time in our services these last several weeks to just be obedient and to flow in them. Not be fearful, but to walk in faith and know that God desires this. So here's what I'm expecting, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Roger. Here's what I'm expecting. At the close of the service, when we break up into small groups, that we're going to prophesy. And we're not going to get goofy, and we're not going to get weird about it. We're going to do what God's Word says. We're just going to believe God. God, give me a word of encouragement for somebody in my group. And you give a word of encouragement. You give a word of encouragement. You build them up. That's prophecy. What does it take? It takes just a willingness to yield to God. And here's what I know is going to happen. God is going to speak something to you, and it may be partial, or it may be complete, but you're going to say, I feel like the Lord wants me to say, and you'll say it. And it may be one word. It may be one sentence. But then as you step out and do that, what you do is you become the vehicle that God can use and allow the gifts to flow. Now, we'll explain it a little bit more in just a couple minutes, but I'm going to invite Pastor Roger to come up, and he's going to talk to you about tongues and interpretation.
Blake, thank you. That was excellent. Excellent. Let's give Blake a hand and just thank him for all the time he put in to deliver that to us. We planned so that the majority of tonight would be around prophecy, so I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to talk about tongues, to talk about interpretation of tongues. On tongues, why don't you go ahead and put PowerPoint up there on the definition for the gift of tongues. The power to speak by the Holy Spirit in a spiritual language or an unlearned language. In May, on Wednesday nights, we spent about a whole month going over some of the different gifts of the Spirit, and we focused on tongues for an entire evening. And so if you've never heard a teaching on the gift of tongues, you're like, Roger, what in the world are you talking about? Then go online, go to Wednesday nights, and you'll find that May 9th sermon. Carl Rogers and I team taught that. You can listen to that message. Also, when you go to where the notes are, there is an entire document that you can download on the gift of tongues. It's more than just notes like what you received tonight. It is a multi-page document that we put together for you so that you can read on it, you can study it, you can compare it to Scripture, you can make sure it lines up with Scripture. And so if it's new, if you please do that, that'll be a great help to you. Here's just a couple things I want to say about the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is for, the Bible says, every believer. So it's available to every believer. It doesn't mean that every believer has the gift of tongues, but what it means is that it's available to you. And if you don't have the gift of tongues at this time, don't give up. Keep asking God. Don't get discouraged. God wants to give you that gift. Secondly, like Blake was saying with the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues is under your control. Once you've received the supernatural gift of tongues, then you can use it just like any form of speech. And I've given you a definition on your notes. We're not going to read it tonight, but that's one of the things that goes over in that definition is it's not a static speech. It's not like someone who goes into a trance and they start to talk in tongues. That's not the biblical gift of tongues. The biblical gift of tongues is just like I'm up here speaking right now. I can stop speaking. I can start speaking. The gift of tongues is just like that. You use it in your devotional time. I speak in tongues every day. I decide when I'm going to speak in tongues. I decide when I'm going to stop speaking in tongues. So it's a gift like prophecy. It's under your control. Something to be afraid of. It's something to seek after. It's a wonderful gift. Now, the next gift is the gift of the interpretation of tongues. And so that definition is on your back page. And so if you'll turn there, it means to render tongues understandable to the audience, thus producing spiritual profit. The interpretation must always be judged by the Word of God, just like prophecy, for the spiritual quality and scriptural correctness. So the private gift of tongues, when you're speaking in tongues privately, you're not understanding what you're saying, and other people aren't understanding what you're saying either. It's a spiritual language that is edifying or building up yourself. And that's why Paul says the church service, if I got up here and I spoke in tongues, it wouldn't edify, it wouldn't build up. Paul says, come with teaching, come with revelation, come with insight that can be understood by people. But the gift of interpretation of tongues gives you the ability to hear a tongue. It could be your tongue that you're speaking. It could be somebody else's spiritual language, and then interpret that into English. Now, we don't see that a whole lot. I've seen it probably in my life of being a Christian, you know, a couple of dozen times. It's not super common in Scripture, but it is in Scripture. It's mentioned both in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul says, pray that you might interpret tongues. So it is a gift that God wants us to have. It is a gift that God wants the church to be functioning in. Now, if you've never spoken in the private gift of tongues, I've asked a team of people that when we go into our groups, they're going to come up front. And so if you would like that private gift of tongues, I want you to come up and allow us to pray for you. It's not spooky. It's not scary. We're not going to knock you down. We're not going to yell at you. We're just simply going to ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you with the gift of a spiritual language speaking in tongues. So if that's you, you've never done that, come on up. Let us pray for you. If you don't get it tonight, every Monday night, we have a ministry called the Healing Room that is open from 6 to 8. It's on the east side of our campus, and that is a great place to be prayed for any of the gifts of the Spirit. For you need healing, you need emotional healing, you need spiritual breakthrough, you want to speak in tongues, that is a place to get additional prayer besides what we have here at the altar. So, Pastor Blake, why don't you come up here, and we're going to move into the fun part of the evening.
Wow, that was quick. I must be the windy one tonight, so sorry about that. Okay, say I'm on the same page. Okay, so we're on the same page. So here's what we know about the Bible. It is the Word, and it is the truth. And we can trust it. We can trust the Word. You know, the first time you jump off a diving board into a swimming pool, it takes all kinds of things that you have to work through and you have to wrestle through. You come out to the edge and dad or mom's in the pool and they're trying to get you to jump off the diving board and you're wondering, are they going to catch you? All the little things that run through the mind. You know, the truth is, the older we get, we still have things run through our minds. We just get better at rationalizing it. We just get better at justifying those things. And a lot of times it ends up paralyzing us. And the truth is you're ripping yourself off when you do that. So here's what I want to do. I just want to remind you of something that was recognized by the Sanhedrin. Remember last week we referenced in Acts chapter 3, after Peter and John were at the temple and they said to the crippled beggar, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give. In Jesus' name, rise and walk." In chapter 4, as they were discussing this, the religious people were discussing this among themselves, they said this in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage, you know what courage is? Courage is the willingness to act out of your conviction rather than how you feel. And our convictions should be biblical. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note. It isn't about the educated or the well-informed. It's about those that believe in faith what God wants to do.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.